This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It's the 11th of March 2010, and today I'm honored to be joined on the line by Jane Turner, a woman with a long and impressive career in law enforcement, from being the first female SWAT member and the first female profile coordinator to the first female senior resident agent in the FBI. She was eventually forced from her position in the FBI after blowing the whistle on corruption and criminal misconduct by agents in the Bureau. Jane Turner, thank you very much for joining me on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I'd like to get into S-372 with you today, a draconian piece of legislation that's currently making its way through the Senate and masquerading as whistleblower protection, when in fact it will strip national security whistleblowers of what few protections they actually do enjoy under the current Whistleblower Act. But before we get into that, I think it would be instructive to find out more about your own story, which I understand involves not only sexual discrimination within the Bureau, but also tampering of the 9/11 crime scene by FBI agents. So, Jane Turner, why don't you tell us about your story in your own words?
Very good. My story began when I was a senior resident agent up in Minot, North Dakota. And I had two different things happen. One, of course, was reporting on malfeasance and misconduct by special agents working in Indian country. Specifically, they had taken some cases of sex abuse and had closed them out, saying that they were a car accident. And when I reported this, and I had a history of teaching locals about sex abuse, interviewing sexual offenders, and in fact had taught on the national level, I soon discovered that that was not something that they wanted to hear. And I pursued it because I felt it was extremely important. And subsequently, what happened was my performance ratings, which had always been very high because I worked very hard, was very dedicated to the FBI, was a true believer in the FBI, started ratcheting down. And so I questioned that, and after that ratcheting down continued, even though I had the superior performance, I filed the Title VII. And as they can say, the fight was on, because once that happened, it really turned into quite the issue of having a great agent, the FBI having a great agent, or acknowledging that there were some misconduct issues by management. They chose to get rid of the good agent. So we had a bifurcation. I had a wonderful attorney, you probably know Stephen Cohn, from the National Whistleblower Center there in Washington, D.C., and it took us several years, but we finally got to a point where we were allowed to take it outside the Bureau after being inside the Bureau for several years, trying to get this stuff taken care of. They refused to acknowledge or do anything. And so, of course, we had a bifurcation with the Title VII going outside into the judicial system, where I was found to have suffered reprisal. And there was a violation of my Title VII. And then we had the other case of theft from Ground Zero, which I had reported on, plus malfeasance and misconduct issues by other FBI agents. And that went through the Department of Justice Office of Attorney Recruitment and Management, where it has been sitting since the early 2000s.
All right, so just to get the timeline straight, when was the first incidents that you started reporting to your superiors about?
It was 1998, the initial.
I see.
And why 1998, and why it took so long for this to be adjudicated in the judicial system was because when it was first reported, I went through the FBI system of bringing forth misconduct or malfeasance issues. That took a couple of years. And, of course, all along the way, what was happening was they were kind of taking care of the messenger when I brought these issues to light. they put their spotlight on me and tried to find anything they could to discredit me, instead of taking care of the misconduct issues. It was during that time that I found out, after I was forced back to Minneapolis, Minnesota main office, from Minot, North Dakota, that I discovered there was misconduct going on down there, i.e., issues of theft from Ground Zero. And I also discovered that they had been, or we had agents who had signed up, people as informants who had no knowledge that they were being signed up. Here again, I went through the system, and it went all the way up to Washington, D.C., came all the way back down again. And then, of course, under the Whistleblower Protection Act, it got sent over to the Department of Justice and the IG. The IG determined my allegations were correct. There was theft from Ground Zero. And but the Department of Justice has been sitting on the whistleblower claim, my whistleblower claim, and it's been sitting there ever since.
So just to be clear, what kind of theft are we talking about from Ground Zero?
There were several items taken, artifacts, specifically what was found in, what I found in the FBI office here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, was a Tiffany globe that had been taken from the actual crime scene there at Ground Zero. It was
right.
It was sitting on the secretary's desk in full display in the office. It turned out that I discovered that several items were brought back from New York to the Minneapolis division, into the division.
Right, and you mentioned there was a government investigation that vindicated that. Specifically, who was investigating that?
That was the Inspector General, and that is a specific investigatory agency set up to determine if there is, on these whistleblowing claims, if there is, you know, breaking of the law, misconduct, malfeasance issues. They did determine in my favor that there was theft from Ground Zero. In fact, not only the Minneapolis office, but there were several FBI agents who had taken things. This resulted, of course, after I blew the whistle on that, it resulted in my forced removal from the FBI. After many, many years, I retired from the FBI after 25 years of superior service, and I was forced out, and nothing happened to any of the people who stole things.
Right. Well, just to put that into perspective for people out there, because for someone who's in law enforcement, I'm sure it's just second nature, but for people who aren't in law enforcement, what really is the significance of FBI agents actually tampering with a crime scene like that?
Well, you know, whenever articles are removed from a crime scene, it can determine the results of the end of the investigation. Take, for example, when you had the bombing in New York earlier in the 1990s, I believe, they found just a small little VIN plate off of the truck that was used, and that helped them to take it back to the actual perpetrators of that bombing. So anytime you remove anything, you are kind of destroying the credibility of the crime scene search.
Exactly. And just to be straight on that point, what were members of the Minnesota field office doing at Ground Zero in the first place?
Every field office in the FBI has evidence recovery teams, which are known as ERT, Evidence Recovery Team, ERT. And after 9/11, there were ERT members who were brought back to New York from several field offices across the United States.
Very, very interesting. Very disturbing as well. And I'd certainly hope that people will take a look into that story a little bit more. But suffice it to say that you did find legal counsel with Stephen Cohn and the National Whistleblower Center, and your case was eventually resolved in your favor in the court of law in January of 2007, I believe. There was a settlement in your favor?
This is what makes this most interesting, and why I'm one of the few really, I think, individuals who can point to how this bill that they're trying to strip of whistleblower protection for FBI agents would affect it. My Title VII case was adjudicated in court and found in my favor. The whistleblowing claim went to Department of Justice, Office of Attorney Management, which is the agency they had determined FBI complaints should go to, and it's been sitting there since the early 2000s.
Even after your Title VII case has been settled?
That is correct. And after the IG found, IG had found that there was theft from ground zero, which upheld my whistleblowing allegations, it's still been sitting there. If they're stripped, this bill we're talking about right now, if it is stripped of the whistleblowing protection for FBI agents, my case would go right down the tubes.
Absolutely incredible. So just to be clear about what the system is at this point, people like yourself who are in the FBI and other sensitive agencies involved with national security will have their cases adjudicated by the Department of Justice?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
So people who are currently, under the current legislation, we have a system of overview where the Department of Justice will look into whistleblowing complaints from national security agencies?
That is correct. That is the route that they had put into the whistleblowing law that had passed under President Clinton. All of those protections for whistleblowers would be stripped out under what they're proposing right now for the whistleblower law.
All right. Well, maybe we should start getting into S-372 specifically. I did give a bit of an introduction earlier, but perhaps you can tell us exactly what this bill is and how it's pretending to be a whistleblower protection bill, but is in fact actually going to strip at least national security whistleblowers of some of their protections.
Unfortunately, that is correct. It would strip national security whistleblowers of any protection, whatever. You know, when this little story might help you understand. After I blew the whistle on the fact that we had Minneapolis Division agents who had taken items from Ground Zero, and I was forced out of the FBI because of those allegations, subsequently, afterwards, the head of the FBI office here would put my picture up at conferences and would make fun and say things to undermine my credibility and the seriousness of my charges. Only because of the protection afforded under the old whistleblowing law was I able to go forward. Under this new bill, which would strip, really, because mine was under President Clinton, like I said, before 1997, it gave us permission to expose abuses and not fear retaliation. So under the new one, they would remove and deny national security whistleblowers the right to have their retaliation cases reviewed by independent agencies, such as mine went to the Office of Special Counsel or the Inspector General. And they're denied the right to court access. Instead, the very agency that fired you or took retaliatory action is going to look at your case. Now, remember, I told you after I was, it was forced out of the FBI here after many, many years of exemplary service, the head of this division And we have paperwork to show that the executives back at FBI HQ not only tried to discredit me, but my allegations. That kind of activity would happen if this redlining of this bill occurs. Whistleblowers would just be put up for ridicule. There would be no support. And the agencies that they bring those allegations against, and some of those officials, would be the very ones looking at whether your allegations have any merit. It is absolutely bizarre.
It is bizarre. It's almost unthinkable how this type of legislation could even be proposed with a straight face, given the way that it will simply allow agencies to fire at will with no overview of any kind. It's almost unthinkable. How does this type of legislation get even written, let alone put on the floor of the Senate?
Well, it depends, as most things do, who has the power. And right now, the FBI is sitting in the catbird seat in terms of power. They have a huge amount of it. Thanks to some of the events that happened after 9/11, they were given a tremendous amount of power. And in the utilization of that power they were given, I think they're trying to clean house not only of the whistleblowers who have come before, such as myself, Fred Whitehurst, Sybil Edmonds, Bassam, but they are going to effectively stop anyone from coming forward in the future. And that's what's scary. So they're striking while the iron is hot, and I want to say right now, I was a true believer in the FBI. I remain a true believer in the FBI. I worked with wonderful people. I also ran across, unfortunately, in my service here in the Minneapolis Division, some very misinformed and culturally, in the FBI culture, malignant executives who did not want any malfeasance or misconduct issues to come to light. And I think anytime that happens, that you can squelch any allegations of bad things, you're in trouble as a society.
That's exactly right. And I think in the intervening years since 9/11, as more of the facts have become available, it's become more and more clear that there were some phenomenal agents doing an incredible job of piecing together the pieces of the puzzle and coming very close to actually being able to find out about that attack before it took place, and were consistently overruled and prevented from getting to the final piece of the puzzle by managers and supervisors, and we've seen that with other whistleblowers who have come out since then, like Sybil Edmonds and others, as you mentioned. But I think there are incredible agents in the FBI who have been doing an incredible job, and it would be extremely unfortunate if legislation like this would stop those agents who really do have the best interests of America at heart from coming out and exposing corruption at the heart of that agency. So certainly, I think this is an extremely important issue. And while many people who are listening to this may not be able to do anything about the culture of the FBI, they may actually have a chance to influence this bill that's currently making its way through the Senate. And I understand that this S-372 is making its way through the Senate in a rather unusual way, known as hotlining. Can you tell us about that aspect of how this bill is going to be passed?
Well, from my understanding, hotlining is that this legislation can be passed, or the poison pills can be put in there, and it does not have to come to vote. It just passes without much fanfare, which tells you exactly how critical, I guess, some people see this should be happening, which is scary because all it's doing is taking away some of the rights which would result in a better agency, i.e. the FBI. So really, in the darkness of night, they're trying to put this through taking away a little bit more of freedoms. And the important thing to remember is whistleblowers are the canaries, as we say, in the coal mines. They're the ones that alert you to danger. If the FBI and other intelligence agencies are going to not only deny, but destroy those canaries, I don't think that bodes well for us as a society.
It certainly does not. So then how can people get involved with this, and what can they do to potentially stop this? I understand hotlining, of course, it can be a potentially bad thing insofar as it will pass without a vote, but it's also good insofar as it requires only a single senator to object to it.
That is correct. Hotlining requires unanimous consent, and so all we need is a senator to step up and say, wait a second, this is destroying existing whistleblower protections. This is not good for our country. This is not good for the intelligence agencies, which need the truth to be told instead of misleading maybe the American public. And I have to tell you that whistleblowers step forward with tremendous consequences. They oftentimes lose their job, their career, monetary aspects, their family. I mean, it is a terrible, terrible burden and price you pay to be a whistleblower. The majority of whistleblowers come forward because of good reasons, moral reasons. I, as a true believer in the FBI, want to make it a better agency because I love the FBI. I wanted to make it better. So they shouldn't be seen as bad people or a bad thing. They're good for the organization. And I don't understand why they would be looked at as something dangerous or evil for the American public.
Well, absolutely, it's the exact opposite. Those people are not dangerous or evil. In fact, they are extremely courageous, and we have people like yourself to thank for coming forward with their stories in spite of all of the persecution that they face, even with the supposed protections of the current legislation, let alone whatever the legislation that gets passed will look like. So I certainly hope my listeners will take that story to heart and will get involved in helping to bring political pressure to their senators on this issue, and hopefully get that senator who will step forward to object to this bill. On that note, are there any websites that you'd like to direct people to where they can get more information about the bill?
Well, they can go to the National Whistleblowers website, and that has pretty much everything you would want to know about what is going on with this bill. They have laid out very carefully exactly the segments of the bill, what it would mean, and how it takes, what it takes to pass it. And that is the National Whistleblower Center in Washington, D.C. And if you plug that into Google or any other engine, it can come up and you can take a look at all the information on that line.
That's right, National Whistleblower Center at whistleblowers.org, and I believe it also has the letter that you recently wrote about S-372, so people should definitely take a look at that. And yes, I can't stress enough how important this is, and I certainly hope listeners will take this to heart and will take this as a call to action to get involved and to help protect those whistleblowers who are really, in the end, protecting us from corruption and malfeasance within these agencies. So once again, Jane Turner, I'd like to thank you for your own act of courage in coming forward with your story, and I'd like to thank you also for joining me today.
Thank you, sir, for taking a look at this situation. I agree wholeheartedly with you that this is something that needs to be stopped for our society to continue on the right path. We can't have this kind of legislation. It just is sending us to a place where we really don't want to go.
That's exactly right. All right, on that note, let's end it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.